Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's about that time. When you hear me on the microphone, you know this is the Neek and Rue Show, Friday night, September 20th. October's right around the corner. That means it's fall-like season. I love the fall. Leaves going to start hitting on the ground. And I know I got to get that damn rake out and rake the leaves up. But anyway, this is not a fall-like show. Well, it is. But we're not talking about fall and leaves and stuff. But I just want to throw that out there because get ready. It's coming around the corner. But this is the Neek and Rue Pro Football Talk Show. Jam-packed show tonight. We got some breaking news about AB. We're going to get in that a little bit. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that bummy wummy. But as always, I'm Neek, my main man Root, right next to me. What's going on, man?
Hey, so, you know, we're here to talk about football. So, Neek, I'm not even going to play no games with you. I'm going to get right into it. We got a lot of scores to get through from week two. We're going to talk about week three, give you our predictions. You know, you get nothing but the hot fire from this show. So I'm going to start off. You know how we do it. We start off with the news. I'm going to give you some for real NFL breaking news. Fresh off the presses, AB got dropped off. That's right. He got released by the New England Patriots because he was just being a jerk. I mean, let's face it. You get in a sexual assault lawsuit filed against you. He was kind of lucky, I would say, that it was in a civil court, so it wasn't criminal charges. And so it seemed like even though the Patriots found out about that after they signed him, it's what they say. It's what Robert Kraft is sticking to in his statement, and Belichick kind of seemed like he's towing the company line and saying the same thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, when the team had to have a second allegation come out, and then AB had the goal and the audacity, the goal and the I don't know what, to text his alleged accuser and to basically say, you know, I got pictures of your kids, the real broke girl, she doing this for the money, things of that nature. And she wasn't even filing the suit against, this was the other woman, this was the artist. And for Antonio Brown to do this, he got cut. He got dropped off. He deserved it. We don't know if he will play in the NFL again this year. We'll see what happens. But if there was somebody in the NFL that I would say, if he got a black ball, I wouldn't be mad. Hey, man, I had to say it'd probably be this guy because AB was making some sucker moves out here. But we got to move along in this news. Like I said, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about this. AB had four catches in his debut for the Patriots last week, you know, against Miami. But I think they'll be fine without him. Look for Philip Dorsett to have a bigger role on the team. Moving right along, a lot of things happened, man, since we last had the show last Friday. Start off with Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees. Almost similar type things, except for Ben Roethlisberger's was a non-contact injury on the elbow. He needed elbow surgery. That was season ending for him. We don't know if it's going to be career ending. He's still under contract, said he wants to play it out. Mason Rudolph will start moving forward for the Steelers for the rest of the season, with Drew Brees, the longtime New Orleans Saints starting quarterback. He had thumb surgery the other day after, you know, basically hitting the hand of Aaron Donald, leading to Drew Brees being out for at least 6 weeks after that surgery. Talking about these longtime QBs, I told you, Neek, before the season, it's kind of a passing of the guard here in the NFL. We'll talk about later in the show with guys like Gardner Minshew, ironically, who would have thought. But Eli Manning, man, he's going to the bench, man. He's like a stud being put out in the pasture. Just won the Kentucky Derby. But in this case, let's say he won the Kentucky Derby 2 years ago. You know, the shelf life not long for those thoroughbreds. But Eli Manning was a thoroughbred that stood the test of time. Man, Eli Manning is top 10 in a lot of category, like yards and completions in NFL history, not to mention those two Super Bowls. Daniel Jones will get a chance to start the number 6 overall pick in this year's draft against Tampa Bay this weekend. We'll examine that, how we think that starts going to go later in the show. I want to touch on another couple things real quick. Minkah Fitzpatrick was traded from Miami to the Steelers for a 2020 first-round draft pick this past week. David Njoku took a shot in the air on a bad pass from Baker Mayfield, originally reported as a concussion, also suffered a wrist injury. The wrist injury is likely going to require surgery as he has been placed on IR. So the top 10 tight end for the Cleveland Browns will be out probably for at least 8 weeks. Likely will be the designated return guy or one of them off that IR for the Browns, but it's going to be a big loss. KC also, the Chiefs lost left tackle Eric Fisher. He's going to be out. He has surgery. He's defined as a core injury. The Washington signed defensive end, former Ohio State product Noah Spence. Cam Newton is going to be out at least against the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. Kyle Allen will have his first start. And Neek, that's the news. I'm going to go through these week two results, but go ahead.
Actually, you forgot about other little news. Your boy Taco Charlton, Taco TC, couldn't get it done in the Big D. So he takes his tacos with himself down to South Beach, where they have some of the best tacos in the world. And you got a little taco coming from Dallas on down there. We'll see how the fans, if they like this taco that's coming to this Dolphins team. And like I said, man, Taco, I'm going to put it like this. I'm not going to predict your future or anything, but you pretty much been a bust. I mean, that Dallas defensive line needed you. They didn't get anything out of you. DeMarcus Lawrence been doing everything by himself. On the other end, you was supposed to be his Robin the Batman, you know, and you just could not get it done. So, therefore, you're down in Miami. And other news out of Arizona, left tackle Joe Staley broke his fibula. He's going to be out for, I think they say, 8 weeks as well. So, that's the other news I just want to get the fans caught up on, Root.
There's lots of other things we'll kind of update you on throughout the show. A lot of it has to deal with the starting quarterbacks, guys that will be out, maybe if it affects you in fantasy or anything like that. I want to run through these week two results as quickly as possible. We touched on the Thursday night game from week two last week. We're not really going to touch on that. Starting with the Sunday games from week two results, San Francisco whooped up on the Bengals 41-17. Jimmy G looking like he might be the QB to beat in the NFC West, but we don't know. Russell Wilson definitely has something to say about that. But the Bengals look like scared kittens. The Lions snuck one against the LA Chargers 13-10. Unexpected victory there, but the Lions and Matthew Stafford able to pull it out. Green Bay defeats Minnesota. Green Bay reeled off 21 in the first quarter, and it's when I do believe behind Aaron Rodgers. They held on to that 21 the whole game to beat Minnesota 21-16. Costly red zone interception thrown by Kirk Cousins in that one, leading to a Minnesota loss in division. Then we also have Indianapolis, the Colts being able to take care of Tennessee. Tennessee, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. They're on a two-game winning slide after beating the Browns on the road in their opener. Now, again, in the second week, they lost 19-17 to the Jacoby Brissett-led Colts. And also the Dolphins got shredded as they continue to tank and get rid of players like Minka Fitzpatrick, but not until after that game. But the Patriots did whoop up on them 43-0. The Bills beat up on the Giants. The Bills claim the mantle and the throne as the Kings of New York and the state of New York. Bills win this one 28-14. Josh Allen's got that team off to a 2-0 start. Look out for the Buffalo Bills. Heidi, 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 hi. Heidi, 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 ho. And also Seattle managed to, again, have a freak injury take out Ben Roethlisberger in this one, 28-26, as Mason Rudolph comes in, tries to bring the Steelers back from behind on this one, but the Steelers fall short. Dallas did beat Washington 31-21. Not big surprise there. Dallas obviously off to a great 2-0 start and some great play from Dak and the rest of the cast there offensively for the Cowboys. The Cardinals won 23, or excuse me, the Ravens beat the Cardinals 23-17. Lamar Jackson against Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray threw for 350 in this one. I believe Lamar Jackson threw for about 270, had about another 120 yards rushing. Man, these two guys will be something to deal with. I'm a fan. I'm not going to lie. Houston edges out Jacksonville. We'll talk about Jacksonville a couple minutes, actually. They beat them 13-12. Jacksonville went for a two-point conversion at the end, lost by one. At least they went for the win. That's got to be something said there. Obviously, there one thing we didn't talk about in the news was Jalen Ramsey demanding a trade, his trade request. We wouldn't say it's been ignored. A lot of teams have been interested. They're saying that it's going to take two first rounds to acquire Jalen Ramsey.
But we'll see how that goes in negotiations. He didn't really ball out, you know what I'm saying, in the Thursday night game, which we're going to get to. But as I said, I digress. KC beat Oakland 28-10. Not a whole bunch to say about this one. Mahomes went out there and shredded the Raiders in the second quarter, to be honest with you. Chicago beat Denver 16-14 at Denver. Big thing that happened in the Rams-Saints game, which was 27-9 with the Rams winning. Again, Drew Brees going down. So, led Teddy Bridgewater to have to finish the game. And, again, as we mentioned earlier, Brees will be out for at least 6 weeks. Atlanta, the Falcons, they beat the Eagles 24-20 in a tough game. And then also the Jets were they were basically handled by the Browns in this Monday night game. If I do have, Nick, can I get about 30 seconds to talk about the Browns' performance on Monday Night Football against the Jets? Obviously, the Jets came in. They had to start Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian exited that game shortly after coming in that game after a few unfortunate encounters with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett was out for some kind of blood, maybe Greg Williams. He didn't like how he played him or something because Myles Garrett said, I can injure any quarterback in the league, backup quarterback, starting quarterback. I'll take a couple penalties. I don't care. But now they're letting me play free and loose. Baker Mayfield, he's got to improve his game. Nick Chubb needs at least 20 carries a game. Antonio Callaway, we need you. Rashard Higgins, we need you to play Sunday night against the Rams. But in this Jets game, I do believe that, you know, this team took a small step in the right direction, but they really have to dominate the line of scrimmage, be physical in the run game, and, you know, use those, whether it be 12, 13 packages, especially now that Njoku's out, they have enough tight ends, and they're going to have to pound the rock with Chubb. All right, Rue, man. I know you want to talk on your Browns. I gave you 30 seconds. I think you went at 45 seconds. You did a good job there. I got to give you credit on that. But that was a must-win for your Browns. I mean, they needed that game. You got to play the teams that's on your schedule, regardless if they're injured or not fully healthy. Jets were pretty much banged up, but the Browns went in there and got a win. They did what they had to do on that note. All right. One thing before we move into this week.
Excited, Nick.
I know you're excited, but the one thing I just don't get was going on down in Miami. Because I know it's tank season for this team. But my issue is that you have, I understand they don't have anything. Let me speak. My issue is this. You have one of your best young players who you drafted a couple years ago, Fitzpatrick, the free safety, and you decide to move him. And the funny thing with the NFL now is that players, once they start complaining in the media or on social media, I don't like my role on this team. I was not happy about getting benched last night. So therefore, I'm contacting my agent and I want to be traded. So I've never seen the days like this ever in the NFL where players just come down social media demanding they don't like something. And guess what? These are starters. These are Pro Bowl players that are actually getting shipped. And for Miami, what do you have left down there on this roster? You get rid of Fitzpatrick for a first-round pick. So now understand, you have three first-round picks next year. I get that. But you have to hit on all these draft picks. You do, man. You do. They have to be good picks.
They're using the Browns model. They're using the 7.
Let me speak, man. Let me speak. You had your time. Because the reason why I'm saying is, you look what the Raiders did last year, this past draft. They went out and started. Now, you can say what you want about Cleveland Farrell. You can say what you want about Josh Jacobs. You can say what you want about Jonathan Abram. But they got three starters who look good early on. Abram's out for the year. But for the Dolphins, they have to hit. Jacob, I'm sorry, man. They got to hit. No, he's playing this week. Jacobs is playing. Yeah, he's playing. But they got to hit. So with that being said, Brian Flores, man, I hope you last through this contract. I hope you see this rebuild. I hope the owner, you and the owner on the same page and the general manager on the same page. Because I get what you're trying to do. I know you want to build this team your way, but you got to have some talent already on the roster to build this team your way. That's all I'm going to say. All right, let's touch on last night's game. Last night's game, we had the Jags versus the Titans. And it's funny, man, because when hold on. It's
your mustache is looking nice. Do you believe in Gardner Minshew?
No, let me tell you, it's too early right now. But that funny thing about the Titans, they so inconsistent, you know? That first game they came out did their thing. That's why I'm not sold on Mariota. And I understand he was running for his life last night, but you had the ball as a team for 38 minutes, and you could only put 7 points on the board? That's a big testimony to the quarterback. I'm sorry I'm putting that on the quarterback. I understand he was running for his life. But Mariota, man, you got a lot of young speed, a lot of young talent wide receivers on this team. And Rudy, you shaking your head. I like some of the guys. A.J. Brown, I took him in my DraftKings last night, and I was pissed the hell off because he had one catch, 4 yards. So his biggest game of the year came against Rudy's Brown so far this season. Yes, he's a rookie. But Gardner Minshew, man, I got to give him props. He came out of nowhere. He was throwing that ball. I mean, those old back shoulder passes towards the sideline with Chark and Westbrook, man, that was a thing of beauty. That did not those were not rookie throws. Those were veteran presence throws. I mean, he looked very solid last night. Jags defensive line, they got after the Titans offensive line. I mean, Conklin, who's the Titans' best offensive lineman, man, Campbell ate his ass up. And then the rookie, Josh Allen, out of Kentucky, he had 2 sacks as well. Yeah, they did their thing last night. Big ups to the Jacksonville Jaguars defense.
Did they thing by the tune of 9 sacks? 9 sacks? Wow. Man, Vanessa Del Rio couldn't handle that.
All right, man.
Hey, this was a dismantling. But a lot of it was because, man, it was a physical game. You know, I was looking at the game, and I was looking at the box scores, and I was like, dang, Leonard Fournette. I was like, man, he's too weak. He had, like, I don't know, 8 carries, something like for -8 yards. And I'm like, man, he busted off a big one, like a 79-yard run. That kind of sealed the game.
It wasn't 79. It was like 59.
No, it was like 79 because he ended up with about 71 yards rushing or something like that. But I mean, they shut him down most of the game. But Derrick Henry, the Jaguars' defense did not only a great job against him, obviously they got after Mariota. Tennessee was getting flagged a whole bunch in this game. I think Tennessee's capable of playing better than this, but this AFC South division is interesting. This AFC South division is very interesting.
I mean, before we say interesting with that,
I mean, if
Vanessa Del Rio was listening to the Nick and Rudy show, she would be calling in right now. Rudy, you are a very interesting young man. You gonna tell me I can't handle 9 sacks? You don't know what I've done off camera. You don't know what below has done off camera. What I got down below put in some work over the 70s and 80s and 90s. And to this day, I don't know how that bank account of hers is looking. But to this day, she might still be taking 10 to 15 sacks now and day. I don't know, Del Rio. But anyway, big up to Vanessa Del Rio. I can't believe, man, what the hell are we talking about Vanessa Del Rio, man?
Del Rio.
Man, come on, man. All right, anyway. All right, let's get into week three. First game we got up on the schedule, we got the Jets traveling to Foxborough to take on these New England Patriots without Antonio Brown. Do they really need Tony Brown? No. Here's the keys for the Jets to win this game. Prayer, Hail Mary, prayer. That's pretty much it. I mean, Luke Falk, he needs to have a Joe Montana-like game.
No, they won't do it.
To have a chance. The other chance the Jets have in this game, they're going to have to give Le'Veon Bell about 40 carries. I mean, Le'Veon, you've been away for a year. This week, they're going to overwork your ass. And then for the Patriots, they ain't got to change anything. Don't change anything on offense. Don't change anything on defense. Just keep doing what you do. You're going to win this game. The matchup I am looking forward to, Josh Gordon versus Tremaine Johnson, because word out in New York is that they paid all this money for Tremaine Johnson, the cornerback, a couple years ago. And now they're worried is about him, his love for the game. So I think Tremaine, I saw a reply. He said, that's a bunch of BS. I love the game of football. I think he's going to be hungry to show it this Sunday. I do want to watch that matchup. The mismatch is this, Jets offense versus the Pats defense. Pats defense is going to tear their ass up. I got the Patriots winning this game 38-6.
Tremaine Johnson and Jamal Adams, both of them been in I wouldn't say the news, but Jamal Adams for his hit on Baker, and then also, you know, being pulled at the end of the game. Not sure, you know, how he feels about wanting to be, you know, a Jet anymore as well. I will be the first one to report that. There will be some dissension there in the next few weeks. I actually just lost my train of thought that quickly. But for the Jets and the Patriots, man, the only key to victory here for the Jets is if they can get Sam Darnold to go into the Patriots locker room and just spread the chicken pox.
I mean, chicken pox. Hey, that's actually not bad. I mean,
the babies that he got.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you remember that movie Dirty Work that came out in 1998 with Kevin McDonald and my boy? That movie was so hilarious, man. They used to go plant, do those dirty jobs, and then Chris Farley was in there. And I remember they put the dead hookers in the trunk of the guy. No, they weren't actually dead, but they threw them in the trunk to ruin the guy's commercial. Man, oh, that movie's funny. We should have hired them for this. I mean, that's the only way the Jets have a chance to win this game. But anyway, guys, if you haven't seen Dirty Work, man, that's one of my classic movies. It came out in 1998. Go download it. Go buy it. Classic movie. Anyway, all right. Bengals at the Bills. Bengals keys to victory in this game. They better hope and pray that that offensive line can open up some holes for Mixon, because right now Mixon hasn't been able to get on track, and it's due to this offensive line not being physical enough. And then on defense, I mean, it's simple. I'm going to put it like this. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I saw what Josh Allen did to us last week. He does two things: rollouts and bootlegs,
right,
and then play action. That's it. That's Josh Allen's game. Roll out the bootleg and play action. That's it. Go to the left, go to the right. I mean, he switches up every now and then. That's it. And for the Bills, don't change nothing on the offense. Keep, you know, Josh Allen, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing your rollouts. I mean, hey, that's what you're doing. That's what you're selling with. And Trent Murphy and Ed Oliver, they need to get pressure on Dalton. The matchup I'm looking forward to in this game is Tyler Boyd, Bengals wide receiver, going against Tre'Davious White, the Bills' best cover corner. The mismatch in this game, the Bills' defensive line against that Bengals' O-line. They should be eating in this game. And with that being said, I'm going to take the Bills 23-17.
Okay, so I think as far as the score, you know, we definitely have the same logic there. I think as far as how we get there, you know, maybe a little bit different. One thing to note in this game is that, you know, Devin Singletary, the rookie for the Bills, he'll be out in this game. Josh Allen's playing much improved this season. And he Dalton, to be honest with you, he's not really playing bad football. I think this is the classic trap game right now for the 2-0 Buffalo Bills. Now, I do got the Bills winning this one 24-14, but they better have the defenses up, because you mentioned Tyler Boyd. You know, you didn't mention the other speedster that they do have that's actually developing right now, John Ross. We'll see what he can do before A.J. Green gets back. Joe Mixon didn't have a good week for them last week. I look for him to have a much better game. I think that the Bengals will dominate this game on the ground. And, again, I got the Bills winning it, but the Bills do have to look out, because the Bengals, they should be hungry and thirsty here. Hungry and thirsty. They should want both water and sustenance. They need a little new nutrition. They need to come in from the storm and show that they'll be competitive this year. Otherwise, there's going to be some wholesale change in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and for this Dolphins-Cowboys game, man, we raunchy tonight. You and I are very raunchy. And I'm just sitting here thinking, what can I think about for the Dolphins? What's the only chance? Yeah. Let's see.
Scabies in the Cowboys locker room.
Yeah.
Leprosy. Tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis. Nah, that's a little too much, man.
Whooping cough.
Remember, this has to be for one day.
Smallpox.
One day. Hold on. How about this?
A plague on your house.
kidnap? Nah, that's a little too much. Hurricane has already passed.
you really can't just make a natural disaster happen like that. I mean,
well, the Dolphins are praying they can, man.
It's not in Miami. It's in Dallas. So.
Well, yeah, well, that's true. Damn, I did forgot about it. It is in Dallas. My bad, man. But, yeah, maybe if the big screen, the Jerry Jones screen, I don't know, what they call the name of that screen? If it fell, yeah, and if it fell, it tilted all the way over in the Cowboys bench.
it's probably still playing. They're like, no, it's the Dolphins.
Yeah.
We can't postpone this one. We need this right now.
So, bottom line is this, man. Miami, I really believe, Rude, that this team is probably going to go 0-16. I really believe it, man. They have a good shot.
Tanking hard, man.
I mean, they're tanking hard. I don't know what direction they're trying to go in. Hell, I mean, if I'm any Dolphin players, I will be going off right now. Talking about, man, I hate my role. Call my agent. Seriously, man, I'll be trying to get up out of there.
No,
get
you
traded.
Just complained about players doing that. Now you're saying if you're a Dolphin, you would do it, though, right? One thing we didn't mention, Nick, and I had to cut you out there, but the Dolphins are starting a new quarterback this week, Josh Rosen. Fitzpatrick's going to the bench. I don't think he really was motivated to play anymore after his cousin Minka was traded. You know, Josh Rosen.
Man, he ain't no cousin, man. Interracial
just
cousin.
One is black and one is white.
Ah, shut
See,
up, man.
You always. All right,
look,
man. Racial,
look. Rosen's going to start. And he's starting against this Cowboys defense. And this Cowboys defense ain't no joke. And Cowboys players, don't take this game off. I can't even say it's a trap game, man. You better not lose this game. Yeah, somehow you guys lose this game. I'm not even gonna say you guys are gonna go to Super Bowl playoffs this year. I mean, you guys lose a game. That's just pathetic. But anyway, Cowboys gonna win this game. There's no, I don't have no keys to this game. I mean, like I said, only thing that happens is what you said, leprosy or a smallpox or something like that happens. Yeah, something like that happens, man. That's the only way it's gonna happen. But anyway. Let's move on to the next game. Let's see. We got Denver.
Anyway, I got Dallas winning that one 35-3 if you're keeping track for betting purposes.
Right? Yeah, I got the Cowboys winning 42-7. All right. Denver at Green Bay. And I'm going to say this, man. Joe Flacco has looked pretty decent so far. I cannot lie. He's actually looked better than I thought he would be so far this year for the Broncos. And you got to keep in mind, he's doing this with injured Emmanuel Sanders. Cortland Sutton's not playing this game. I mean, he's been banged up, so he's basically doing this with nobody.
What does the C on Joe Flacco's chest stand for, though?
Captain Checkdown. But the keys for Denver in this game, protect Flacco. I mean, that Packers front seven is pretty nasty. They got to get Phillip Lindsay going. They got to get the running game going. And my boy Von Miller, where has he been at? No sacks? I mean, he's going to have to wreak havoc in this game for this team to actually have a chance. For Green Bay, force Flacco on the turnovers, and just keep them checking down. Hey, you cool with Joe Flacco checking down? You were cool with that. And then get Jimmy going, get Jimmy Graham going in this game. And then Jones last week had over 100 rushing yards, so pound Jones as well. Matchup I'm looking for in this game. Actually, I'm excited to watch my boy Devontae Adams versus one of the best corners in the game, Chris Harris. That's going to be a nice matchup to watch. The mismatch, like I said, Packers front seven against the Broncos offense line. With that being said, Nick is taking them Packers 27-13.
So, Nick, it's interesting that you mentioned Aaron Jones for the Packers because, you know, I was thinking about picking him for, like, DraftKings this weekend, but I didn't end up. But I think that's one thing that Green Bay's offense is going to struggle with here a little bit in this Denver. They have a good defense. Green Bay has a really good defense this year. Aaron Rodgers, you know, and the Packers start off 2-0, but a big part of it has been that defense. Don't forget that first game they had against the Bears. I look for the Packers to win this one 24-13 as well, but I think look for it to be that Packers defense emerging and winning this one as much as the great throws and play of Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to move this one right over to the next game, Nick. Atlanta and Indianapolis. This is an excellent game, Nick. I know that you're going to give the keys to this game, but one thing I did want to mention, and I'll pick my winner after you, but Darius Leonard, the leading tackler for the Colts from last season, a rookie of the year defensively, he's going to be out for the Colts, so we'll see what they can do. Give us the breakdown on this one, Nick.
All right, keys for the Falcons. Matt Ryan needs to limit his turnovers. Last week he threw for 3 picks. Which is a Matt Ryan-like, and we call him Matty Ice. He was actually Matty Turnover last week. He has to limit his turnovers in this game because this Colts defense, even though they're not going to have Leonard this week, is still very good, and they can get pressure on Ryan. And Ryan, you know, like I said, he struggles with pressure. Falcons defense, they need to pressure Jacoby Brissett. I mean, they need to get after him. In this game, and they need to run the ball with Freeman. Sorry, but I almost said Freeman in this game. All right, Indianapolis Colts keys,
pound Mac, man. You saw what they did first game against the Chargers. You're going against Falcons defense. It's not very great, good. I think Mac could have a big game, maybe 150 yards if they pound. And they got to cover very well because the Falcons wide receiver core is one of the best in the game, so they definitely have to cover very well. Matchup I'm looking for in this game, Julio Jones versus Kenny Moore. That should be a nice little matchup right there. Let's see if Moore can hold his own against Julio. Mismatch. I think that Falcons receiving core going against that Colts secondary. Desir and Moore going up against Julio and Ridley and Sanu. I think that that Falcons receiving core might be a little too much for this Colts. But with that being said, Colts are at home. Marlon Mack, Brissett doesn't turn the ball over much. I'm going with the Colts, 31-27.
First of all, it's Jacoby Brissett. You make
I said Brissett. I'm thinking about.
Make it seem like he's shredded barbecue from Old Hickory or something. But hey, Indianapolis winning this one 21-20. Let's go to what I think is the game of the week. I don't think too many people argue along with the Sunday night game, which we'll touch on shortly. Kansas City and Baltimore. Both of these teams are two of the hottest in the NFL. Both teams are 2-0, obviously leading their division right now. We got Lamar Jackson for 120 yards last week in a matchup against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. We got KC, who, again, is coming off a in-division victory against the Raiders. And, Pat Mahomes threw for 300 in both of those first games. This is a very exciting matchup. Neek, break it down for us.
Yeah, it's actually the game of the week. I'm going to put it like this. Baltimore, first two games, come on, man. He played the Dolphins and the Cardinals. And now this week they're going against Mahomes. And the crazy thing is this, Tyreek Hill is injured. But then you bring up guys like DeMarcus Robinson and then Mecole Hardman, who they drafted out of Georgia. I mean, them boys, there's so much damn speed on this offense, man.
What about the Chiefs defense?
I mean, shoot, up front, I mean, with Chris Jones, and he's still a – well, listen, but Chris Jones still one of the best interior pass rushers in the game. You got your boy Frank Clark. He needs to get pressure as well. So let me put it like this. So for Baltimore, ball control. Control the clock. Pound Ingram. You know, if Lamar Jackson, he gets out on some bootlegs or whatever, that's fine. What's one of his other plays he likes to run? Run game, Lamar.
You talking about Lamar?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's just about that, the fake handoff, the RPO style runs, you know. So just fake it in there to the halfback, you know, roll out a little bit, and then just take you right up alongside outside the tackle. Or you could do the fake, you know, inside to the running back Ingram perhaps, and then just go straight in behind him, you know, with some action looking like you might throw for a second. So Lamar Jackson is really hard to defend. The RPO is virtually unstoppable. That's kind of what I like to draw up offensively when I'm a coordinator myself.
Yeah, and Jackson, he definitely could take shots against this suspect Chiefs secondary for the Chiefs. Don't change anything on offense. Keep doing what you're doing. Your boy Raglan, Anthony Hitchens, the linebackers, they need to spy Lamar Jackson. Keep him in the pocket. Make him beat you. I would take Lamar Jackson to beat me in the pocket over any day instead of getting out that pocket. That's where he's most dangerous. Matchup I'm looking for in this game, Kansas City's wide receiver core going up against that Baltimore secondary. Can Baltimore secondary with Brandon Carr and Humphrey, can they keep up with the speed of the Chiefs wide receiver core? Mismatch Travis Kelce versus anyone. against anyone. That's the mismatch right there. With that said, I think the Chiefs are going to outscore the Ravens 42-31.
I got to take the Chiefs in this one, 30-21. Don't forget about the tight end that's been emerging for the Ravens. I think he's questionable for this game. What is it, Mark Andrews?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. And then I got KC 30-21 in this one. Let's move on. We're going to go through a few of these games here really quickly, like Oakland, Minnesota, Detroit, Philadelphia, Carolina, Arizona, and the Giants in Tampa Bay. So, need to take it from there.
All right. Oakland and Minnesota for Raiders. They need a pound Jacobs, man. I mean, Jacobs needs about 25 carries in this game. This Vikings defense is loaded on the ends with Griffin and Hunter. They love to get after the quarterback, so just pound Jacobs. And Raiders secondary, they need to cover Diggs and Thielen. Minnesota's keys, just keep pounding Dalvin Cook, looking like the best running back in the league right now for the first couple weeks. And Kirk Cousins, you need to push the ball down the field. You saw what KC did against Oakland's secondary. Key matchup I'm looking for, Stephon Diggs versus my boy Conley for the Raiders. Mismatch, any Raiders running back against Anthony Barr. I'm telling you right there, Anthony Barr is one of the slowest covering linebackers in the game. You put Jacobs, Rashard, or Washington on him, it's a mismatch. I'm still taking the Vikings 27-21.
I know you're saying Josh Jacobs is not out for this one, Neek, but he is definitely questionable. I do take Minnesota to win this one, and it's partially because of the way Cook has been playing. Minnesota 23-17. Let's go ahead and move on to Detroit, Philadelphia. I guess I want to know who you got in this one, Neek, but one thing to keep in mind is that Philadelphia does have his starting receivers out in this one. So look for them to depend on more of Aguilar and Arcega Whiteside, the rookie, but DeSean Jackson is out. I was going to say Alfre Woodard, but Alshon Jeffrey is questionable in this one. So we don't know if they'll have his services. Likely not. Detroit, don't forget about they beat the Chargers last week. Interesting matchup, Neek. Who you got in this one?
This game, I'm going to go with the Lions in this game, 24-20. Lions keys, they got to pound Kerryon Johnson. He needs more than 12 carries. He only had 12 carries last week. He's a big back. Get him going. Lions defensive line has been looking phenomenal the first couple weeks. They need to get after Carson Wentz. For the Eagles, you got to pound Josh Howard, get that run game going, Jordan. And test, Jordan Howard, and test that Detroit secondary. And they got to cover the rookie tight end, Hockenson, key matchup in this game. I want to see Darius Slay, but who is Darius Slay going to cover? Because the Eagles a little bare at that receiver core position, so that's going to be interesting because we already know Slay is the Lions' best cover corner. And I think the Lions are going to win this game 24-20.
No problem. Like I mentioned, Nelson Aguilar is still there for the Eagles. He stepped up a little bit last week when the receivers went down. Let's move right along. Arizona is at home. They got Carolina coming in. I think I had Carolina winning this one early. Don't forget Cam Newton's out for this one. Kyle Allen in his first start. Not to be confused with a couple of the Josh Allens in the league. Very confusing, folks. But Arizona in this one, Neek, I'm going to cut to the chase. Kyler Murray threw for 350 last week. I see that air raid starting to acclimate itself. 20 for the Cardinals to 18 for the Panthers. They're going to be on the road in this one. Kyle Allen in his first start on the road. I don't look for a lot of offense outside of Christian McCaffrey. Look for him to bounce back and have a big game, but I think Kyler Murray is going to handle this all by himself. He's got a loss. He's got a tie, and now he gets his win.
Yeah, and like I said, for Kyle Allen to have any success in this game, he needs to turn around and hand that ball off to Christian McCaffrey. I mean, last week was just embarrassing that they didn't get McCaffrey enough touches. This guy needs about almost 30 touches. Seriously, because the Panthers don't have much offense. Greg Olsen and DJ Moore, that's pretty much about it. For Arizona, Kyle Murray, just keep doing what you do. He should pick apart this Panthers secondary. Should be easy. Key matchup I do want to watch, Larry Fitzgerald versus Dante Jackson, but I'm going to take the Cards 28-14. All right, my New York Giants traveling down to Tampa Bay. I'm not upset about Eli Manning getting sit down. It was time for him to sit down, but I am pissed off because James Betcher, I don't like this 3-4 defense. We need to be running 4-3 defense. So for Daniel Jones, don't be scared. Just do you. Be you. Do not try to be Eli Manning. Just be yourself and have fun. That's pretty much simple. And Giants defense, secondary, they need to cover well. For the Bucs, they just need to take advantage of this Giants secondary and get after Daniel Jones. Key matchup, my boy Mike Evans versus Janoris Jenkins. But with that being said, I think the Bucs going to win 28-24.
Hey, I got Tampa Bay, winning this one 21 against the Giants 17. Daniel Jones in his first start, you've already covered it. I mean, Daniel Jones looked great in the preseason. We'll see what he can do against some live NFL bodies out here. Neek, on these next few games, actually, we're just going to rush through these scores. We got Houston and the Texans against the L.A. Chargers. This is actually going to be a good game. I will say that I got the Texans winning this one 27-25. The Chargers coming off a loss last week to the Lions. I would say that they're going to try to bounce back. I think that they're a little bit, still like they've been playing well, but just having that additional, offensive weapons and firepower. I'm saying the Texans are taking this one 27-25.
Yeah, for the Texans to win this game, they have to protect Deshaun Watson, Melvin Ingram, and Joey Bosa. They are coming for you. They got to get Carlos Hyde going, give him about 25 touches in this game, and try to avoid getting to a shootout with the Chargers. For the Chargers, keys is get Eckler, get him more touches, get him going, and Ingram and Bosa, they need to go hunting. They need to go after Watson. The biggest mismatch in this game is Roderick Johnson, Rudy's favorite Brown tackle of all time. he's going to be going up, matched up against Ingram or Bosa, so I look for the Texans win 38-35. All right, Saints at Seattle. Can you believe that the Seahawks got a chance to go 3-0? And I think they are going to go 3-0 because Teddy Bridgewater, you got to show them something. You got to be efficient in this game. You got to get the ball to Michael Thomas quite a bit, and you got to pound Alvin Kamara in this game. Sean Payton need to get the ball to Alvin Kamara in this game for Seattle's keys. Get the run game going, cover well, and get after Teddy Bridgewater. Mismatch in this game is DK Metcalf going against Eli Apple. I think Metcalf's going to tear his ass up. With that being said, I'm taking Seattle 23-14.
You're going to take some big bites to that apple. All right, and, you know, with New Orleans, you mentioned it. Actually, we're not sure who's going to really start or who's going to be their quarterback between Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously, Bridgewater's got more experience as a starting quarterback. He didn't look great against the Rams last week. He showed his real limitations, you know, with his arm strength and ability to push the ball downfield. I got the Seahawks winning this one 24-13. Look for some gadget plays from Taysom Hill, but it won't be enough. San Francisco against the Steelers. The Steelers, Mason Rudolph's going to be in his first start. Jimmy G got onto a little bit of a roll last week, I think, behind that running game, which is really featuring Breida and Mostert. So, you know, maybe look for them to go back to that. In any event, I think that San Francisco is going to pound the ball, play great defense against Mason Rudolph, let that front seven just shine and just flourish out of San Francisco, be so carefree and flamboyant out there, you know, repping San Fran, girl. But anyway, I got the 49ers winning this one 27-14.
Yeah, I got the 49ers 26-17. He's for 49ers, like you said, pretty much run the ball, get Kittle and Marquise Goodwin going in the passing game because we know that's still a secondary. They're suspect to the speedsters. And, yeah, Goodwin should have a big game in this game. It's definitely going to be mismatched if Stevie Nelson's covering them. Pittsburgh, it's your show, Mason Rudolph. Just be efficient. Steelers, you got to get James Conner going. You got to be balanced on offense. And for the Steelers defense, got to get after Jimmy G. With that being said, I'm taking the 49ers 26-17. And Sunday night, we got the L.A. Rams versus the Cleveland Browns. Rudy's team, talk about them.
Give me that mic for this game. Cleveland, are you listening? Go Browns. I mean, hey, man, we handle business. We did what we were supposed to do in week two. You know, we went to New York. We went to MetLife. We took care of business. We beat up on the Jets. We didn't care if we was going up to the second, third, fourth string quarterback. We won that game. I thought we played much better defense. This week, we'll be down Randall again. It doesn't matter. Murray, I thought, stepped up and played decent. The defense has got to continue that same willingness to kill and to devour and to take out the other team's offense. I know Greg Williams ain't the defensive coach no more, but you got to keep that same mentality that it's a bounty on the quarterback's head. That's right. I said it. And Baker, you have to play within yourself. You have one of the top 10 running backs in the league behind you. Nick Chubb, use him. Use him. When you see him in the flats open, one-on-one coverage, when you downfield 10 yards, one-on-one coverage, hit him. Use him as an outlet. If Hilliard's in there, I think he's going to be a go in this game because D'Ernest Johnson was getting a lot of the targets. Use him. Take those takedowns. It's okay. You don't have to hit OBJ constantly. You don't have to take shots at Landry downfield. He'll be there for you on the third down. This team needs to improve on third down. They need to keep some of those other tight ends in. They need to run some 12 and 13 personnel with sometimes just having the one or two wide receivers out there. They can't run that 11 personnel with the three wide receivers, especially if Rashard Higgins not going to be able to play. Remember that I said that Randall's out in this one. Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams are both questionable, but we're going to need them against that Rams trio that they have out there. And Robert Woods, the director, trying to tell me to get off the mic. The other receivers, Cook, and obviously Cooper Kupp. So just make sure you're on top of the game. Baker, make the safe, smart reads. Run the ball. Run the ball. Be smart offensively. I got the Browns losing this one, but they need to keep it close.
All right, Rube, man. We only got 30 seconds left, man. I mean, come on, man. Bears fan want to hear what's going on. Don't matter. Rams going to win that game. Browns got too many injuries. Browns offense line not going to be able to keep Aaron Donald off them. Bears, Monday night Bears skins. I got the Bears win this game. They're going to be pounding Montgomery in this game. They're going to be getting after Case Keenum because they don't really have nobody to throw to. I know the rookie Terry McLaurin has been looking pretty solid, but that Redskins offensive line is pretty bad, so I'm taking Bears 20-13. With that being said,
the Bears
Nick
win
Rook,
on that Eddie Pinheiro field goal 20-17. Why are you trying to cut me off? Eddie Pinheiro, he's the champion of this one. Nick,